Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. Again, we're still on a roll with Fivefold Ministry Made Practical. Today, talking about the pastor with Ron Meyer. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's great to be on a roll, too.
This has been so much fun. Hey, you know, if you just tuned in right now, if you have not heard any of these other podcasts, please check them out. We did one on the apostle, one on the prophet, one on the evangelist, and today is the pastor.
Yeah.
And in the future, very near future, will be the teacher. So let's talk about the pastor role, Ephesians chapter 4, where, you know, Jesus gave these gifts to the church, and of the five, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, pastor is the most well-known. That's what we kind of grew up with. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's the most well-known and the least used in the New Testament.
Yes.
It's the only place we find the term pastor.
I know. The shepherd, I think, won't believe, but pastor, this is it.
Yep, this is
You're
it.
You're right.
Many times it's translated shepherd, so I'm sorry.
What's the difference? Here's the deal. You know, we have pastors everywhere. Everyone wants to be a pastor.
Right.
But then on their business cards, whatever, Pastor John, Pastor whatever. So what's interesting, and that's the word that you use, as you said, it's really not given much in Scripture.
Yeah.
But talk to me about what is a true pastor supposed to look like?
Yeah, a true pastor.
This Ephesians 4 pastor.
Yeah. The word shepherd really connotates a pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you care for the sheep. You just love people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's evident in its embryonic stage. Is, let me give you, one of our grandsons, ran out to get the mail, opened the mailbox, and there's a littler one with him, and on the way back in, he hands the mail to the smaller one, so the younger one can carry. That's a pastoral gift at about 5 years old.
Yeah.
Where he cares enough about the other person
so good.
That he's willing to give the fun of carrying this to somebody else.
Yeah.
A pastor is someone who cares about the people, cares for the people, willing to invest in their lives and help them walk through stuff.
Truth is, I love being around pastors.
You know? Yeah.
Because you're right. That's what they do. They care about
they
people.
They care about you.
They do. Now, let's talk about that gift that we see in the Scripture versus what we often see in the modern day.
Sure.
Say Pastor John, Pastor Smith, Pastor whatever, leading the local church. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, someone with a, let me put it this way, many people who are leading local churches function under a gift mix.
Yeah.
Where pastor might not be their strongest gift.
Right.
Maybe it's an evangelist. Maybe it's apostolic. There's also some teachers that's their strongest gift. I will say this is that everyone who's leading a local church needs to have a pastoral gift functioning in them, or at the very least needs to have a pastoral heart.
Exactly.
And needs to invite others or include others on their leadership team that have a strong pastor's heart to make sure that they are taking care of the people. Otherwise, if they're a strong gift of an evangelistic gift or an apostolic gift, they will draw people, but they will not be able to hold them. They'll just continue to draw new people, and if they don't feel cared for, they won't stay in longevity.
Okay, talk about the difference between biblical elders and biblical pastors, because we often use them interchangeably, but really they are different.
Biblical elders have the gift of government to rule.
Yeah.
A pastor is someone who just love on people.
Yeah.
So for them to, and again, it's interesting that through the course of time, it shifted to the pastor is the leader, regardless of anything else. They are the leader, and that's good. But they need to have a gift of government to draw in the other gifts around them to make sure that they're not just staying stagnant, to make sure that they're not just pouring into people and causing them to mature themselves, but that they are maturing to the point where they are pouring into others, and that the body continues to grow, the kingdom continues to expand.
In our family of churches, Dove International, you know, we've often used the term lead elder,
right?
Because we see that as being more biblical, and yet we live in the context of the local church being the pastors, and many of our leaders would say, well, we're like the lead pastor, lead elder, whatever. But really, they are different. You've said it well. One has to do with government making decisions, and the other has to do with caring for people. And I don't care what role we have in the body of Christ, we need to have a heart for people. We need to care about people.
Exactly. And the struggle comes in if someone who has a strong evangelistic gift or one of the other gifts that's leading the local church, everyone has their own understanding, our own perspective of what a pastor should do.
That's right.
How they should function. So, my family member went to the hospital. How come the pastor didn't come to see them? Well, that might not be his primary gift. He needs to have people that cover that.
Yeah.
But that might not be his primary gift mix that he's he's functioning under.
Yeah.
So with that title comes expectations.
Right. I know when I served as senior pastor, quote unquote, I never felt like I was a great pastor. I love people.
Yeah.
But I felt like other people were much better off and on our team and connecting with people in crisis than often I was. So I've always encouraged around the world when we're meeting with leadership teams, if the lead person in a church, it does not have a strong pastoral gift, make sure there are pastors on that team.
Yeah, exactly. So to do that, that just speaks to security
right.
in your own life and experience. You were secure enough to say, you know, I am really strong apostolically. I am really strong evangelistically. I can grow things, but I need to bring somebody else alongside. And that affirms their gift, mm-hmm. and it releases their gift to function so that the body itself continues to grow, because it's not about you. It's about increasing His kingdom. The kingdom of God is always on the offense, as I said earlier. It's always growing. It's always expanding. God is looking for more people to come into the kingdom, and the way to do that is to see people functioning and flowing together.
Of course, we've worked together for years, Ron, and in the local church and also in the movement, the Dove movement, and that's why, obviously, for years, we've always encouraged these gift mixes, you know, to work together.
Right.
That's why we encourage small groups so people can be pastored.
Yeah.
Because there's probably, I would guess, you tell me if I'm wrong, that there might be more people with a pastoral gift than any other gift. Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because when you look at personality traits, the high S is the strongest or the most prevalent. So I think, and that just, you know, that just speaks to something, Larry. If that's the largest grouping of people, then we should not fear relating to people because they care about other people.
Exactly.
And most people, you reach out to them, they will respond in a positive way.
They will.
Most people.
Right.
So the whole fear thing, that I'm afraid to reach out to somebody who acts different, looks different, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Man, that should be done away with. Just on that statement alone, that more people have a pastoral gift, that means that they're concerned about me. If I reach out to them, they will probably respond properly back to me.
Are there any persons in the New Testament you can think of and say, well, that was a pastor? Anybody you can think of? Timothy, maybe?
Yeah, Timothy.
I think Timothy would be one example.
Absolutely, Timothy would have been one. I mean, any of the church leaders had a strong pastor's heart.
Right.
I mean, even Paul, even though he was strong apostolic, he had a strong pastor's heart, because he was concerned about the people. And even as he spoke, he said, I'm pouring out my life for you.
Yeah.
And considered my life a loss that you might gain. That's that a pastor, a true pastoral heart, is willing to invest and willing to pour out. Listen, without getting anything in return.
Right. Now, let me just give you my philosophy. Maybe off the wall. I'm not sure, but I feel that often when a church is small and stays small, it's often led by a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because who hasn't learned how to release pastor responsibilities to others around them? Because you can only handle so many people.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And with the average church in America, that's 70, 75 people.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you get these smaller churches, and God's using them, it's fine. But if you can recognize it's probably led by a pastor. Mm-hmm. So someone is apostolic in that church, or they're prophetic, or have other gifts, it's probably harder in many ways, harder for them to release in their gift, because it's just a pastor who thinks pastorally.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. So each of these gifts view life through that lens. Apostolically, Larry, and you're the same. Any church, any gathering, almost any place, even business, when I walk into, I look around and think, how can we change? What can change to make things grow?
Right.
Anyone with a pastoral gift will walk into any setting and say, are the people being cared for here?
You got it.
A pastor will walk in and read body language.
Yeah.
They will look for the person who's by themselves, who's isolated, who's not connected, because their heart is to connect them with God and with each other.
Yeah.
Their heart is for connection and what they can do to connect. So their antennae, spiritual antennae, is up, and they're looking for areas that people can connect with. They're looking for a need. They'll notice someone who's discouraged.
Right.
And they'll say, hey, are you okay? And we're an evangelist might never pick it up at all. And someone with an apostolic gift walk right past them, and I'll be like, are you okay? They're the ones that get detained at the water cooler at work. I remember walking into a mini market back in those days to buy a newspaper, and this lady behind the counter started telling me all about her problems with her son.
Yeah.
And I'm like, lady, all I want to do is buy a newspaper. But what that gift makes room for it. That person on the other side felt that pastoral gift emanated out of me and felt secure enough to share with me struggles she was going through in her life.
Yeah. So for someone who has a pastoral gift, strong pastoral anointing, which of the other fivefold gifts do you think they would work with the easiest? And which of those gifts do you think might be the toughest?
They would work the easiest with the teacher because their heart is to see people grow. The teacher's heart is to see people grounded in the Word of God, unshaken, unmoved, which is very clearly what Ephesians chapter 4 says. That it brought to maturity, takes all them. But that the teacher, man, they're really focused on that. So the pastor, in fact, some people would see pastor teacher as a hyphen between the two versus two separate gifts. But I think they could identify the most with them. Probably would struggle the more with the apostolic. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say they'd struggle. They would feel pulled. They would feel stretched. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe even to being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And yet a strong pastor needs a strong apostolic voice to encourage them down the field, so to speak, to enlarge their vision and capacity.
Yeah, I find even when you look at someone's growth and someone's a new believer, they're growing in God, and you know, when do you release them in areas of ministry? Someone who's a pastor would probably say, well, they need more time.
Yeah.
Right? And then someone who's more apostolic, maybe prophetic, would say, no, they'll learn in the journey. They'll get it. Other people will help them in the journey.
Exactly.
And, but it's really the different perspective, different lens that leaders are looking through to help that person.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when I released fivefold ministry within my local context, the local church, I told them, I can release you right now as long as you allow me to bring correction as we walk forward.
Sure.
Which you need to be able to bring correction at all times. But so there's two ways to release quote unquote fivefold gifts, is to bring it to maturity and then release it, or to release it and then steward it and bring it to maturity walking alongside.
Right.
I go for the latter of releasing it and bringing it to maturity because I feel like they can grow faster, and I feel like it validates them, it validates others, and it demonstrates that they're open to correction, and that sets a standard for the whole body that I'm leading, that we can help bring adjustment and grow together.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. That's the kingdom working together in my eyes.
For those of you listening today, the podcast, I just want to mention Ron's book, Fivefold Ministry Made Practical. A powerful book on the fivefold ministry and understanding pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. And it's done so well, Ron. Thank you for writing this. Check out the show notes. You can get this online. You can get this on our bookstore, Devon International Bookstore, or Amazon, or wherever you buy books. It's an audio of the whole deal. But it's a great book. I highly recommend it. I've recommended this all over the world as my favorite fivefold ministry book.
Wow.
It really, really is.
Thank you.
And I think you need to write more on this. I think it would really help and bless people. So check out the show notes, more about Ron and all that. What more do you have in your heart today to talk about in regards to pastoral ministry? Anything else we should know?
Sure. Obviously, interesting enough, the word pastor, we said, is used one time. I think shepherd is used like 18 times in the New Testament. Six of those times in John 10, where Jesus said, I'm the shepherd, and those who are true shepherds come through me, through the door, and that kind of thing. The interesting thing about carrying a shepherd's heart and know whether you're, quote unquote, a gifted or have the ability to lead people is that people can affirm that what they're hearing from you is really the voice of the Lord speaking to them as a body of believers. And they're willing to give of themselves to extend and expand the kingdom. This is where God is calling us. This is where God is calling us to invest and to give of ourselves. So to go back to in its embryonic stage, a pastor, a pastoral gift is someone who cares about others and is willing to invest in others, is willing to get dirty with others, is willing to put their arms around each other and love them and bring them to a place of maturity. The interesting thing, probably the pastor, as much as anyone else, is not restrained or constrained to seeing people as they are. They have the desire to see people as they can be, and they're willing to invest in them to get there. Someone with some of the other gifts, they might be able to see the potential, but to invest in them to the degree that they need investment, they might not be willing to do that. Yeah. A pastor, absolutely.
Yeah. I learned years ago there's a big difference between a rancher and a shepherd, speaking of the pastoral gift, you know, the pastor being a shepherd.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shepherd, of course, cares for the sheep.
Yeah.
But a rancher then will find the key shepherds and relate to them. And that's why we talk about small group ministry, whether it's cell group ministry, house church ministry, whatever, as being so important. Because if we can release people to fulfill their gifts, especially their pastoral gifts, which most believers have, release that, then they are fulfilled in their setting. And then the rancher who's taking care of the shepherds, and of course there can be levels of that, they're fulfilling their calling off, and they might be more apostolic, or they might be having an other gift mix, whatever. But that can really work for a church to really, really grow. It's, again, it's very hard to take care of more than maybe 70, 75, 80 people, really, and do that properly. But if we can see the next level release. And just sometime back, I had Peter Bunton on the podcast, and Peter Bunton had written a book on cell groups and house churches, what history teaches us. He goes in all the history of this. It was amazing. The Methodists, for example, you know, and how they did this. And it was brilliant. It was from God. But they were learning how to use pastors properly. And they released pastors to that gift. And they didn't have to have a title. They didn't have to have a business card. They were just shepherds and pastors and loving what they were doing.
I just want to affirm that again. Your gift will make room for you.
It will.
Function in your gift. Be secure in who God's created you to be. He created you that way for a specific purpose, to fulfill what He desires for right now through you. And to be able to function in that, to be able to be secure in that, to be able to allow yourself to grow in that, to allow others to speak into that. That's just a beautiful thing, to be able to be who you are and be confident. I'm not comparing myself to somebody else. This is who I am. This is what I do. And that's such a free moment. Man, God did that to me one time years ago, where I just reached that revelation. This is who I am, and this is what I do. And it's a freeing moment.
Don't have to be all things to all men. We don't have to do everything. But that's why God is the builder of teams. And that's why the fivefold ministry work together as a team. So again, if you just joined us today, check out the show notes, Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, the book, and more about Ron Meyer. Any last-minute words of wisdom on the pastoral gift, Ron?
Sure. I think that the highlight of a pastoral gift is to just begin to function in it. You don't have to look for... There's all kinds of teachings and training and equipping, but the place to start is find somebody to love. Find somebody to pour into. Look for that person who is sitting alone. Look for that person. You don't need a title. We had people over at our house many times before I ever became a pastor. We would take the initiative and go to people. We would call them. Are you available? We reached out to them. The one of the keys of a strong pastoral gift is you ask a lot of questions. An evangelist sometimes does more talking a true pastor asks a lot of questions. Yeah. How are you feeling? How are you handling that? What's going on? How's your mother? How's your father? How's your family? How are your children? That kind of thing. How's life? How's work? Those, so they're asking questions, drawing them out. What you're saying is, you right now, you're the most important person in my life right now. I'm looking at you. Right. You are the most important person right now.
Right.
And that is the gift of pastor.
And I think for all the fivefold ministry, whatever gifts we have, gift mixes we have, let's never forget, we must have the heart of a pastor, the heart of a shepherd. We're called to love people, and we need to live that way. That's the way God's called us to walk.
That's true. Very true.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Well, this has been fantastic. We've already gone through a four podcasts on the fivefold ministry. One to go. Prophet, of course, and the apostle and the evangelist, and today the pastor. And we're coming up soon with the teacher and what's the role of the teacher.
It's good.
So thank you again.
You're welcome. This is so much fun being here.
This is really, really fun. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's so good to have you with us today again on this podcast. We learn the small things you can change in your life. If you obey God and do that and trust the Holy Spirit in the whole process, you'll find your life changed forever and will change the lives of those whom you serve. So God bless you. We'll see you back here next week on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.